us in these days. 1 Samuel chapter number 11, and if you want to stand with us, if you're willing and able, we invite you to do so, and let's read our verses here. We'll try to finish this thought this morning, give you something that'll help you, and then a closing challenge concerning the thought we've been dealing with out of this text. The Bible said, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. The elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel, and then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of all the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, the men of Judah were 30,000. They said unto the messengers that came, thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead. And here's our thought. I love this phrase. Tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. The messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore, the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies. They came in the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. And what a victory was won on that day. What help these people that needed help found there that day. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, in this day and in this time and this hour that you are God. You're Lord. You're on the throne. And Lord, we acknowledge today that, Lord, beside thee there is none other. Lord, not only that, there's not another, Lord, that, Lord, it would even began, Lord, to be comparable to you. And Lord, so we don't even try that. We just look to heaven, Lord, today for help from the God of glory. Lord, we ask today in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would do a work in this place. Take us beyond our own physical limitations, our own spiritual limitations. Lord, all the ways in which, Lord, we could be and will be held back by the realm of this domain, Lord, would you fill us with the Spirit of God and with unction and with power. Lord, we realize today that doesn't come from a style, that doesn't come from a personality, but that, Lord, that comes from the Spirit of the Lord moving in this place. And so, Lord, as best I know, for the next few moments, a little while, or however long or short it may be, we yield ourselves to the power and the influence and the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. I pray, Lord, today that you'd move and work. Help the children of God today. Lord, we pray they'd receive something today, a word of truth, that, Lord, would be to them what they need, Lord, in this very hour. And then, Lord, most of all, for those that are here today that do not know the Lord. Lord, they've been around the Lord. They've been around Christians. They know others who are saved, but they themselves have never been born again. Lord, I pray this morning that you would work, Lord, in their heart, in their life. May the goodness of the Lord and the Word of God lead them to repentance today, and may they be saved. Lord, for all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. We've been looking at 1 Samuel chapter number 11, as this is the beginning days of the reign of King Saul, the first anointed, the first called God-appointed king to lead the people of God. To that point, they had been led by men of God, by prophets, and by even judges, and by leaders appointed by God. Saul is that first king, and as we come to 1 Samuel chapter number 11, these are the first and early days. In fact, he's not been widely accepted by the whole kingdom, even in 1 Samuel chapter number 11, but as a result of the victory, he's going to win in this text. Those things are going to take place in the preceding verses and chapters. And Saul, we know a lot about him, and we know a lot of things about the way that his kingdom went. And he started out well. He didn't end well. He didn't run well for too awful long before God lifted that anointing off of him and would replace him with King David. And yet, in the early days, Saul was a humble man, and Saul was a mighty king and a mighty warrior and a valiant man that God used to win a lot of great victories for the people of God. One such, and the first such great victory, is found in the text we've read to you today concerning the enemy that had come against this crowd and group of God's people known as Jabesh-Gilead. Jabesh-Gilead is not a well-known, we don't think about them in terms as we would other groups that are found larger or smaller in the Word of God. And they're not even very significant so far as our Bible knowledge would lend us to understand. But what we do find is that whatever they are, significant or insignificant, known or unknown, that they are like you and I many times find ourselves in life in this chapter. They're in a tough situation. The enemy is encamped against them. The enemy is threatening to do great harm to them. And they are in danger of being brought into a certain bondage to the Ammonites. What they need is, they need help from somebody greater than them. They have reached a point in their time in this situation that it is absolutely clear, Brother Riley, they cannot help themselves. They can't lift one finger to defeat the situation and the enemy. They can't do anything to bring victory, especially the kind of victory that they need. They need help from a source greater than themselves. And in this text, we find that they indeed found that in this man Saul. That when they could not help themselves, there was one that was greater. There was one who had the authority. There was one who could orchestrate and design and even obtain and send the help that they needed. And so we find in this text that at Saul, in the committing of his crown and authority toward Jabesh-Gilead, promises them what we have used for our thought to center these verses in this chapter around. When the word reaches Saul and Saul is moved and Saul begins to orchestrate the way that help is going to be sent to Jabesh-Gilead, the promise is simply this. Tomorrow, verse number 9, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. What a promise that was, and what a word of encouragement that was to Jabesh-Gilead. So we're lifting that phrase and that promise, and we've been preaching on help for the heat of the day. Help for the heat of the day. There are times in our lives where life and the heat of the day seems to be mounting up upon us. The pressures and the battles and the conflicts that we face, the heat of all those things seem to get more and boil up more than what we can stand. But I'm glad we've got a word from our King that there is help for the heat of the day. I don't know about you, but I've experienced that in my life time and time and time again, more times than I could stand in number today. The times that God has promised and God has come through and executed the very help that we needed, I'm glad that we have help in the Lord. Think about the psalmist, when the psalmist in a time of situation where he really needed help, said, I will look on the hills from whence cometh my help. My help is in the Lord. I think about in the New Testament that when Paul stood before King Agrippa, giving his testimony of his life and how God had converted him and saved him, man, and called him and sent him as the light and the apostle to the Gentiles to carry that glorious gospel message even to those that Jesus was interested in saving them. Paul said, since I got saved and had this call of God upon my life, he said, King Agrippa, I've been through a lot of things. And he accounted some of those things to the king that day. But he made this statement in Acts 26 before King Agrippa. He said, having obtained therefore help of God, I continue unto this day. You see, in our text this morning, if Jabesh Gilead doesn't get help, they're not going to continue. They're not going to be able to thrive. They're not going to be able to grow. They're not going to be able to find their place and their position among the people of God. And so the promise and the word that King Saul has sent to them, amen, that they would find help in the greatest time and the greatest need, and in the time in which they needed it the most, they would find the help that they needed. And I'm thankful I can testify, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. It's amazing every time Paul begins to talk about things that he's been through. There are very, very few times, in fact, amen, in fact, I know you'll be able to only find less than a handful and maybe less than a half a handful of times when Paul began to talk about being done wrong, and Paul began to talk about and recollect those times of his life where he had been through some trying times, and that Paul never, never dealt with those things in light of being a poor mouth and feeling sorry for himself. Amen. He never even condemned people that had even done him wrong for the most part. He just simply magnified the fact that out of all these things, the Lord delivered me from them all. And what Paul's testimony was throughout his life was really, I found that God has helped me in the heat of my day. And child of God, you serve a God that is absolutely faithful. Amen. I wish I get it out how it is on the inside. I hope it connects with your heart. The simple fact that our God is our help. He is our refuge in the storm. He is our shield in the battle. He is our fortress, my friend, when everything seems like, amen, it is caving in all around us. He's the cleft of the rock. Amen. When the winds of controversy began to blow, amen, he is simply the one that has promised to be our help for the heat of the day. And so we've been studying this text and Jabesh Gilead in particular, how that they came to this place by which they needed this help. How that, my friend, this present condition, present conflict, this present arising of the enemy in their life has presented them with the need for help, and yet it has presented Saul, their king, with an opportunity to send the help that they needed. And so we looked at the heritage of Jabesh Gilead, the fact, simple fact, without re-preaching all of it, they have inherited some things in their heritage that has left them weak. It's left them in a state of weakness and vulnerability to the foe. And this particular foe that has so despised the people of God and so despised Jabesh Gilead for the land in which they have settled in. And so we've seen the heritage of Jabesh Gilead. And that's all I'll say about that. Amen. And a lot more we have said and could say further. We looked at the hazard in Jabesh Gilead. How that in their weakness, Jabesh Gilead encounters the enemy and is in a time of great hazard. And we looked at the simple fact that this is the Ammonites. This is not The first time the Ammonites have come against some of the children of God, and in particular in these days, they are being led by King Nahash, simply meaning, the name Nahash simply meaning serpent, and is a type of Satan, and his attacks upon the people of God. And then he attacks us when we're the most vulnerable. Amen. And there seems to be an element here. I've not given you this thus far, but it would appear to me in this text that much of the warfare and much of the hazard that is being waged against them deals with that of a psychological warfare. He is messing with their minds. He's messing with their will. He is messing with their thoughts. You say, how do you see that, preacher? The simple fact that they came and they simply encamped. They didn't attack. There's no word of an attack that is made. There is no word that a sword had been drawn. There's no word that, amen, catapults had been brought in or slingshots had been broke out. There's no indication that a shot has even been fired. Brother Mike, they just simply come and they encamp, and in doing so, they're messing with the minds of those that live in Jabesh Gilead. And it so messed with their mind and so put them in a state of hazard that they initially respond with trying to make a compromise. We won't fight you if you don't fight us. And we'll just simply serve you. We'll cower down and we'll serve you. Just make a covenant with us that you won't slay us. And we find that Nahash had no interest in slaying the people of God, as it were. He just simply wanted to steal their right eye. And I understand in some folk, and maybe to some degree it's the case with some, but Satan ain't out really to kill you. I understand that Jesus said, speaking of the devil, the thief cometh for but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he wants to kill you and take you to hell if you're lost. And once he loses the title deed of our life and we're born again and named among the people of God, amen, he just engages you and I in that psychological warfare and longs, my friend, for our suffering, longs to take our sight, and ultimately designs things to end in our shame. And there is a reproach that Jabesh Gilead understands. And Nahash even enlightens them. He said, on this condition, verse 2, when I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And so Nahash is saying, and much like the warfare we're in with the devil, amen, and I hate to humble all of us down, amen, but we're probably not such great children of God. The devil has planned our death. Amen. You're probably, and I'm not, amen, we can be, and maybe there's an exception in the room, and I'll not even put myself in, amen, the camp of the exception. Amen. The devil's probably not so interested in killing us and getting us off the scene as he is just making a shame out of us. Amen. Laying a reproach upon our testimony in the eyes of everybody that walks by. Can you imagine walking by Jabesh Gilead? You walk into that town and absolutely everybody in that town is missing their right eye. Amen. And Nahash understands this, and that would be to their shame. My friend, the devil wants our shame. He wants the reproach laid upon our testimony. And that's why we can't make a compromise and a covenant with the devil. Amen. We must be the children of God that we are. And so we find the respite or the time of rest, the days that are laid out that the children of Jabesh Gilead are going to find and seek for some sort of help. And they understand again that they cannot help themselves. They said in verse number 3, give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. In other words, they're saying we're going to send word out. Amen. We're going to go everywhere we can go. Every town, every tribe. We're going to turn over every rock, look behind every tree, knock on every door. And here's what they said. And then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. And so they acknowledge the fact that they need someone. Amen. They understand if they can just find the right one man. Amen. They didn't say we're going to go gather all the children of Israel. Amen. They didn't say we're going to send out word to get an army to come down here, though that's what happened. Amen. What they realize is it only takes one of the right kind of man. May I say today, it only takes one. Amen. For you and I to find the help that we need. Amen. You don't need 12 preachers praying for you, as great as that would be. Amen. You don't need an army of the children of God to come and to stand with you. Amen. If you can just get to the one who has all power in heaven and in earth and can and has obtained our help. Amen. Can orchestrate the very help that we need. My friend, send that and let that outcome of help be a reality. I'm glad I know the one I can point you to today. Amen. In fact, they found the one, and that leads us not only to the heritage and the hazard, but we've been looking at in particular this thought, the help. Amen. Help for the heat of the day, the help for Jabesh Gilead. Amen. These messengers carry a cry for help. Amen. Like many are crying today, somebody help me. Amen. Surely there's someone who can help me with what I'm going through. Surely somebody can help meet the need in my life. Amen. Surely somebody can help bring victory in this situation that I'm going through. And I'm glad today there was help for Jabesh Gilead. And I'm glad there is help for you and I. Amen. The Bible said that they found the one who could help them. Verse number 4, then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. It's amazing to me that the Word of God is clear about where their help came from. Amen. Their help was in their king. Now, Saul ain't always going to be a type of the Lord. In fact, amen, it ain't going to be just a few chapters later. He's going to be a low-down, amen, scoundrel, and he's going to lose the touch of God. Amen. But as far as 1 Samuel chapter number 11 is concerned, he is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is a type of the one that we can cry to and obtain, amen, the help that we need in the heat of the day. And so we looked at the fact that Saul, as Jesus is, was the sympathetic one. Amen. And I won't re-preach it all, but simply when whatever was disturbing them and causing them to cry impassioned him and moved him, my friend, to an anger and to a desire to reach out and to help them. And I'm glad that no matter who you and I are and where we're at and maybe even what we have done, I'm glad we serve a king today that listens to our cry. My friend, they ain't ever been one more sympathetic than the Savior. Amen, amen. There have been times that my friend and I, amen, was needing some sympathy. Amen, I don't mean just a feel sorry for me kind of thing, but amen, just to know somebody, amen, heard the pain, legitimate or not, amen, that would at least be sympathetic to my need. Amen, there's been times in life I've not been able to find that. Amen, but I'm glad I've never cried to the Lord. And the Lord, my friend, not be patient with me. And, amen, I find in him that what is moving me moves him to help the need in the time that I'm going through.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I know I can't shout, but some of y'all can. Amen. You do your best. Now, Saul was the sympathetic one. Amen. I'm glad we serve a sympathetic king. Amen. That's where the help came from and what help there is in knowing, And Jesus is the sympathetic one. Saul, as is Jesus, was the sovereign one. Amen. Here in verses 7 and 8. Amen. He begins to exercise his authority in the kingdom. And my friend, he makes a sacrifice and has these oxen slain, a type and a picture. Amen. I don't want to get too far into this. I hadn't given it to you yet, but in that we find that, amen, our help is rooted in the sacrifice that is made by our King. Amen. Amen. Calvary, you say, preacher, how's the Lord going to send help in the heat of my day? He's going to do it, amen, because of Calvary. Amen. Your help, you say, preacher, I need help. Well, don't get too far from Calvary. Amen. Calvary, in the place of sacrifice, amen, is the source of every day of help I've ever received. Amen. That's shouting ground right there. Amen. This crowd, this outgrown Calvary in their Christian life. Amen. Or may I say their religious life. You'll never outgrow Calvary in your Christian life. Amen. This crowd that goes beyond the cross. This crowd that, my friend, goes beyond and further and thinks it. Amen. The sacrifice of Calvary is, amen, the shallow end of religion and Christianity. My friend, understand that my Savior has rooted His sovereignty, amen, in the sacrifice that is made. Amen. And upon my friend of Him being the sovereign one and the sacrifice, amen, the hewing of the sacrifice, the shed blood of the sacrifice, amen, the laying out and the message and the testimony of that is sent into the land. Amen, Saul begins to exercise his sovereign right as king. Amen, and I'm glad that my friend, he has, as Jesus does, the authority to move the kingdom for those that are in need. Amen, it's like he puts all the kingdom business on hold. Amen. He doesn't want any cabinet meetings. He doesn't need, my friend, any conferences. Amen. He doesn't need any, amen. He doesn't need any of the calling of the politicians and the elders and the rulers and to come and talk about, amen, the water systems and the crop systems and the bailouts that they're going to do in the kingdom. Oh no, all of that is put on hold. Amen. You say why? Amen, because the king knows there's a little band, amen, of rejects and a little band of those that, amen, even have inherited some things that, amen, have fallen to them because of wrongs that others have done. Amen, compromises that their lineage has made in the past. Amen, but he loves even them and he loves my friend, their well-being, and he's interested in, my friend, them surviving and them making it. Amen. You see, it'd be a stain on his record as their king. Amen. If that little crowd, my friend, is swallowed up, amen, and he ain't gonna let nothing, amen, tarnish his record. He ain't gonna let anything keep him from, amen, exercising his sovereignty. And so he sends the word, I'm your king. And because in the sacrifice I've made, I am orchestrating it and putting the kingdom on hold. I'll be there tomorrow, amen, to give you the help that you need. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, be careful. You're getting worked up. I can't help it. I'm glad I serve the sovereign one. Yep. Amen. He's the one that promised you and had. Amen. After his death and burial and resurrection, right before his ascension. Amen. He looked at his church and right before he said and sent them in the world to preach the gospel. But Timmy looked at them in their eyes and he told them, Amen. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so whatever your need is, amen, understand we serve the sovereign one. Amen. And he's not a sovereign when in glory detached from you and me. Oh no, the rest of that promise said not only, amen, did Jesus say, I have all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and lo, I am with you always. I'm glad today, amen, our sovereign one, the one, amen, from which our help comes from, amen, as Saul was with Jabesh Gilead when they needed him, Jesus is with his church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So he is the sovereign one. And then we dealt with on last Sunday night, and Saul is the speaking one. Amen. He's the speaking one. He had a word. And simply without re-preaching it all again, Saul had a word of assurance for the help of Jabesh Gilead. Amen. They don't need help on tomorrow. They need help today. You say, well, preacher, that ain't what Saul did. Saul said it would come on tomorrow. Amen. But the simple truth is this. Amen. The promise for help for their tomorrow was help for their today. Amen. The fact that they got a word from their king, amen, was all they needed to help them in the day. Amen. The victory would come on tomorrow. Amen. The enemy would be stomped on tomorrow. Amen. Nahash would be defeated on tomorrow. Amen. Oh, the Ammonites would be running around. Amen. Without any two of them being able to stand together on tomorrow. Amen. But until tomorrow, they had a word to help them in the day. Buddy, I'm telling you, we got a lot of word from our King that, amen, is our help in the hour in which we live. Amen. We said this, it was good enough to, amen, it was good enough last Sunday night to say again this Sunday morning. Amen. The word eased their worry. Amen. The word eased their worry. Amen. I'm glad that's what a word from our King will do for you and I. Amen. Whatever's got you tore up, been out of shape. Amen. Whatever you can't get over, if you can just get a word from the King. Amen. His word eases our worry. Amen. So much to the point that the mere promise of tomorrow's help, amen, verse number 9 said it made them glad. Amen. They weren't doom and gloom after they got a word from their King. Amen. But Jesse, they couldn't help but be glad, Brother Larry, when Saul said, amen, I'm your King and I'm the one that's going to help you. Amen. And I'm thankful in this hour, in this day, and in this time. Amen. We serve the speaking one who has a word. Amen. For our help. Amen. He knows when it'll get too hot for you and I. Amen. He knows when, amen, that breaking point is. And I'm glad his promise, amen, right before the enemy plucks you out, and right before the enemy makes you suffer, and right before the enemy brings shame and reproach upon your life, understand I'm the speaking one. My word to ease your worry is you will have help tomorrow by the heat of the day. Amen. A gladness was associated with, amen, Saul being the speaking one. Notice with me verses 9, 10, and 11 quickly. I'll give you our last one. This place that their help came from, the one their help came from, amen, is Saul. He's not only the sympathetic one and the sovereign one and the speaking one, but we find here that Saul was the strong one. Saul was the strong one. And what I noted here in this text is that Saul made some pretty bold claims in verse number 9. Amen. Saul, amen, is making claims ain't nobody else willing to go out on. In fact, from a human perspective, can I put it this way? When Saul said, tomorrow by the heat of the day, ye shall have help. Can I put it in a old term that we would be familiar with? You know what Saul's doing? Saul's putting himself out on the end of a limb. Saul's making some pretty big talk. Saul's saying, I'm going to do what you can't do. Saul's saying, I'm going to show up tomorrow and you're going to know and Nahash is going to know and the Ammonites are going to know who the big dog is. Man. Now, all of that's talk in verse number 9. Amen. But may I say, amen, evidently Jabesh Gilead thought enough of what he had said. Amen. Now they get out on the limb with him. Amen. They go back to Jabesh Gilead, the messengers do, and say, hey, Saul said he gonna come down here and whip them tomorrow. Them men of Jabesh Gilead, all of a sudden, they found their backbone. Now they out on the limb with the king saying, come on out tomorrow and do with this whatever you think you can do. Now you got a king out on the limb, and you got a little band of ragtag, amen, weaklings and vulnerable people that now has found some boldness because their king has made some pretty bold statements. May I say, as big as he was talking in verse number 9, and as much courage as they found in what that their king had said, it's all in vain if Saul don't show up and do what he said he's going to do in verse 11. Amen. Amen. May I say that Saul did exceedingly and abundantly above what they had asked him to do and even what they could comprehend in what he told them he was going to do. Amen. He didn't just show up and give them help. He didn't just show up, stand on the border in Jabesh Gilead and say, now y'all don't mess with these people now. Amen. We come down here to help them. Don't y'all. Amen. Don't y'all do anything. They wasn't showing up. Amen. Giving a weak kind of help. Amen. Saul showed up. Amen. And Saul absolutely did. Amen. What he said he was going to do. I wrote it down this way, Brother Tim. Amen. Brother Bob, you'll like this. Saul was not just running his mouth about helping those in need in verse number 9. He was able and they knew it. And it not only brought confidence to them, but Saul delivered good on the help they needed when they weren't strong enough to help themselves.
Amen.
So may I say today, amen, Jesus, from our mentality, has put himself out on a limb all the things he said he's going to do for us. He's gone out on a limb from our perspective, not his, because the truth of the matter is, Brother Jerry, he absolutely knows he not only can do it, but when he goes moving, he's the strong one. He will do it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So can I say Jabesh Gilead? Here's another cliche. I'm using a bunch of cliches or a bunch of these old statements. They put all their eggs in Saul's basket. They're saying we can't help ourselves. We've been all through the land trying to find somebody. Brother Larry, everybody they ever tried to said, oh man, you're in a bad way. Everybody else they've run up on with tears running down their face saying, we need somebody to help us. We need somebody to help us. Amen. Everybody else they've cried to said, well, I'll be praying for you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. They ain't found anybody that's been willing to step out on the limb. Amen. To get out there and make some bold statements. And yet they found one in Saul. And he's not just talking a big game. When he said, I'm going to show up and help you, he had every intention he was going to get there nothing was going to interfere. Nothing was going to intervene. Nothing was going to stop him. Amen. He stepped out on the limb. He said, y'all bank on it. Step on out here with me. And they did. They got out on the limb and said, come on tomorrow. Y'all come on out tomorrow. Come on out tomorrow. Do y'all sense the scorn they're putting toward the enemy? Come on, Nahash. Hey, hey, tomorrow's day number 7. The days of respite are over. Hey, tomorrow, come on out here and do with us what you see fit to do. Amen. And I'm telling you, they're out on the limb. You know why? Because somewhere in their heart, they had confidence that Saul was the strong one and that Saul would not only show up, but that Saul would do exactly what he said he would do.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm telling you, child of God, and I ain't able to scream and run and, amen, amen, ain't able to run down there and smack you, so just get a hold of it. We serve one who is absolutely able.
That's right, sir. Amen.
Get out on a limb with Jesus. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever victories you need,
yes.
Get out on the limb with Jesus, because He is the strong one.
Amen.
Was it a great victory? The Bible said, and it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in 3 companies. They came in the midst of the host in the morning watch, slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't that what He told them He'd do?
Amen.
That's what He told them He'd do in verse number 9, but that's what He done in verse number 11. The Bible said He didn't just do that to the heat of the day, but the Bible said it came to pass that they which remained were scattered so that 2 of them were not left together. He divided absolutely every aspect and piece and part of the Ammonite army. Jabesh Gilead received the help that they needed.
Yes, sir.
Glad today I know my help comes from the strong
Amen.
One.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You reckon that night, Brother Mark, when they pillowed their head, they probably said, thank God for King Saul.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God. You imagine every now and then they'd write a letter to Saul and say, hey, I was just thinking about that day. We was just about done and about ready to lose our right eye and be a shame among all the people of God. And you showed up, and I just want to say thank you one more time.
Amen.
Y'all reckon there's some days they done that? Amen. You reckon there's times when the king passed by, they'd get out there and bow themselves down to him and say, I wouldn't be here today had it not been for you showing up back yonder when we was weak and needed help. Amen. Well, amen. Should we not worship our king for doing the same? How many times have you been weak? How many times have you been unable? And the strong one showed up, and here you are today, not because you're strong, you was weak.
That's right.
But you got out on a limb with Him, got your confidence in Him, and how many times has He come through? Again and again and again.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to give you a closing thought that I think's important here. They got the help they needed. Saul not only saved their right eye, He has sustained them. Remember, they're weak. Y'all remember why they're weak? Because they've inherited some weaknesses. According to the book of Acts, we understand that Saul reigned a period of 40 years over the nation of Israel. I believe that's right. This is at the beginning of the 40 years. Saul intervenes for this crowd that is weak and shows up. In chapter 11 again, He's a type of the Lord Jesus, but really it ain't going to take chapter 13, amen. He makes some drastic mistakes and he just starts making blunders everywhere. And by the time you come to chapter number 16, David is going to be anointed to replace Saul in time to come, right? And so Saul loses that type of the Lord Jesus, and he becomes more identified with you and I, floundering around and weaknesses and mistakes, and we can identify with him, right? Go with me to the last chapter of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, this is the end. Of course, he is going to be slain. Chapter number 31. 1 Samuel chapter number 31. And I'm done here in just a moment. I know we're way slowed down, but I want you to get a hold of this. In 1 Samuel chapter number 31, Saul dies. Jonathan dies. Some more of his sons are dead. They've been slain by the Philistines. Amen. Now, this is the end. This is 40 years later. Look with me in 1 Samuel 31, verse 11. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul. Notice verse number 12. All the valiant men arose. Wait a minute. Where were they in 1 Samuel chapter 11? They didn't exist. They're weak. They can't fight. There ain't no valiant men. There aren't any warriors. These are valiant men that have been produced for the last 40 years as a result. They all got their left and right eyes. Amen. They're not in bondage. They're not serving the Ammonites. These are children of Jehovah. And the Bible said 40 years later, they're now valiant men. Went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh, burnt them there, and they took their bones. Buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. What is the point? And I wish I could really, really preach this, so you're just going to have to get it as it comes to you. There was a time they were weak and needed help. They got the help they needed so that in time they could be strong. And as a result of the help they received, they were made strong so that when others were in time of need, they are now not in need of help, but able to help others. Yes, sir. There is a need in this day of when people are weak. We know what that is to be weak. If you're not careful, you will lose sight in the times when you are strong of how you felt when you were weak and you were vulnerable. But we are not always valiant. Come on now. We're not always valiant. There are times we are. There are times we're strong. There are times we have obtained help that has made us that way. Can I remind us all in those times when we are, Brother Gerald, don't forget about what it is to be weak and to be vulnerable. Amen. And when others are weak and you are strong, remember God has sent you help to be strong to use you to be a help to the weak. Was this important? Look over there and I'm done. I'm done. I'll have you out. Amen, by 12. All right? Amen. Churches all over town been closed since Wednesday. You ain't gonna have, well, you probably will have to fight them all at the buffet today. All right? 2 Samuel chapter number 2, I believe it is. The Bible said in verse number 4, David is now anointed. David's now the king. And the men of Judah, verse number 4, came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. Words has started to spread now. You know that little crowd of folk we had to show up and help back there 40 years ago? They had a shortage of men. They had a smallness. They had all that land the enemy had encamped against them. They couldn't help themselves. Their right eyes is about to be word is spread throughout Judah. Jabesh Gilead has now got valiant men, and they have helped King Saul. Amen. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. Now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness because ye have done this thing. Therefore, now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant. Your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. Amen. You know what David was saying? David is noting, I know how weak you were years ago. I know what you've been through. I also know that you received help and now you're strong. And David pronounced a blessing from God upon those that take the help they have been given and try to administer that to others in need. I believe that's something that in the realms of religion and even Christianity, the flavor that we are, independent, fundamental, King James only, sin-hating. I mean, we preach against everything. Amen. Outside of breathing and eating twice a day, everything else is sin. That's our brand, right? Amen. And I'm for it. I'm for everything that we are. If we got a flaw, if there's a flaw that ought to be addressed, and there's many of them, but if there is a flaw, it is that those that have been weak and received help would then realize everybody ain't as strong maybe as we are when we are, and that we ain't always been. But when we get help, we ought to try to be a help somebody else. Amen. Saul, when Jabesh Gilead didn't say, do the best you can. He didn't say, that's what you get. That ain't what he done. He went down and helped them. Now they're valiant. Saul is hanging on a wall, and Saul's sons have been slain. Jabesh Gilead didn't say, well, in Philistines, you know them, they're too strong. No, Bible said they arose with their valiant men and they reciprocated the help they received. I know I'm maybe rambling a little bit. I'm trying to say it in ways that I can see the light bulbs go off. I'm seeing they're like them old light bulbs you turn on in a gym and they're real dim and they just get brighter and brighter. Amen. Amen. Does that make sense? You ever received help? Render it. Give it away. Help somebody else. Amen. Let's stand together.